I'm delighted now to welcome to the program Paul Coker Jr. He is a cartoonist for decades now with Mad Magazine, and Mike Bundy is here. He's the director of the Chuck Jones Gallery here in Santa Fe, and there is an opening of Paul Coker's work tonight from 5 to 8. Welcome, gentlemen, to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
So you, Paul Coker, illustrated, did drawings for, and did the, do you, well, when you do a cartoon for Mad Magazine or you do a series, are you coming up with the ideas? Are you coming up with the humor yourself? Or do you also have writers you work with?
Generally writers, yes. Mine is the easy part. I just illustrate what a writer has written. And with any luck, try to make it funnier.
Through the nature
drawing.
Of the drawing.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a real collaborative process.
Yes.
I mean, I imagine that they're thinking of your way of drawing and you are thinking of their sense of humor and doing something which is bigger than the sum of the parts.
Maybe. Most writers are not illustrators or cartoonists. And so they sometimes don't have a good idea of space limitations or what else can be done with their words. So it's up to me to try to make it funnier.
How did you get started as a cartoonist, and then how did you end up at MAD?
I'm sure this program isn't long enough. cartooning and artwork generally starts very early on. And you're encouraged by your teachers, your parents, friends, and suddenly you're noted as a cartoonist. So it just naturally progresses through school and on to where I am now, which is real old.
Well, you started in, what, 1961 at MAD?
Well, with MAD, yes. I worked with Hallmark Cards in Kansas City for several years. And then I had a freelance contract with Hallmark. And I did commercial work in New York. And then finally, not finally, but a friend of mine from the University of Kansas and Hallmark, named Phil Hahn, wanted me to do some work, illustrate some work that he had done, and he thought it would work out for Mad Magazine. And so I drew this story for him.
Do you remember what it was?
No. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah.
But in any event, that's the way I started. I probably never would have gone to MAD with a portfolio of samples. But he encouraged me, Phil Hahn encouraged me. And as it turned out, they bought the article and they bought the drawings. And he became a fairly regular writer, and I became a regular cartoonist for MAD.
I was trying to imagine what it would be like to work at MAD, or indeed for South Park, or for somebody whose basic whole reason for being is to make people laugh and to poke fun at society and its foibles and its stupidities and its evils and all of that. And, I mean, so you work at Mad Magazine. You work there for a long time. What's it like? Is it anarchic? Are people laughing all the time? Is it very serious?
I know what you're asking. And unfortunately, as is the case for most people that work for Mad Magazine, they generally don't come near the office. They all work at home as freelance people. That's the way I worked, and all the writers and artists that I know were freelance. So we really don't come in contact with the editors other than over the phone or FedEx or whatever the latest technology is. But I think you'd probably be very disappointed if you got in their office, because it's, you know, it's a serious commercial operation.
Right.
And although they're, you know, they are funny, but it's not all day jokes and, you know, scratching and laughing and all of that.
Now, I was reading there's a kind of a memoir by one of the people who worked at Mad Magazine, in which he talks about how there were quite a number of trips that the different artists took together.
Yes, yes. The publisher of Mad, Bill Gaines, he unfortunately is now dead. He used to give the staff a trip every year. You didn't have to go on the trip, but you wouldn't get paid for the trip if you didn't go. So this was just a bonus, basically. And really, for me, one of the greatest things that I've ever had happen to me in terms of, well, really, now that I think about it, it may be the best thing that's ever happened to me, because I got to go places that I might have thought about going, but never, ever would have taken the time, set aside the time, and certainly not free.
Right.
Everything was free. Wow. Of course, airfare, the hotels, the meals. And fortunately, Bill Gaines was something of a gourmet. He was also a gourmand, but he loved to eat. And we always knew, wherever we were, that we would get wonderful meals, whether it's Paris or Africa or Russia or Japan or
Tahiti.
Tahiti, yes. Tahiti was one. You must have a list of...
no, I just remember the guy talking about going to Tahiti. And I mean, it seems like that must be at least one time where you weren't all working at home separately from each other, but actually did get to know one another.
Yes, yes.
Was there a kind of creative part to it?
It's always nice to know whose work you're dealing with in terms of writers. And it's fun to talk over. We all had something in common, and that was Mad Magazine. And you're a writer or you're a cartoonist. And I would hate to try to justify the trips with the IRS, but it was a sort of get-together each year.
When times are really bad politically because of war or corrupt politicians...
when is it not?
When is it not? Good point. But, I mean, that's the... It seems like those would be the best times for a cartoonist.
I think that's probably true, especially when you have people that are easily caricatured.
Who are the easiest to caricature?
I'm glad you asked me that. No, I'm not glad you asked me that, because it depends. At the moment, Gaddafi is probably as easy as anyone. Hmm. But I don't know.
Nixon?
Well, of course, Nixon. George Bush was fairly easy. Barack Obama's pretty easy. Well, now that I think about it, eventually almost every politician is easy to do. Now, I don't know whether it would be... I'm thinking now about... Yeah, right, that fellow, or those two fellows. Two prominent Republicans, Texas, Massachusetts.
Oh, Perry and Romney.
See, thank you.
You're welcome. That's why I'm here.
You've been very quiet.
Well, I'm listening to your genius. So.
Yeah, right.
So Perry and Romney also on the easy... Well,
their faces are very regular. Perry has the hair and a very strong face. Romney has a kind of a rectangular face. Very nice looking fellow. nowhere near as easy as, say, Nixon.
Right.
To actually draw a caricature of.
Yeah, yeah. And be recognizable. That obviously is the... If you don't know who it is, then that is a problem.
That's a problem. You said the other day that Michelle Bachmann was actually difficult to do.
Difficult because she's a very nice-looking woman.
Huh.
Her eyes and her large hairdo are probably the most distinctive features.
Now, one thing that I was thinking about, because I went into the gallery earlier in the week and was looking at all the pieces that are going to be in the show. We're talking to Mad Magazine cartoonist Paul Coker Jr. And although it's you certainly caricature both Democrats and Republicans, I found myself wondering whether, I mean, Mad Magazine and these other outlets for humor, are the people who are doing these caricatures and doing these cartoons and doing these pieces more likely to be on the Democratic side of the spectrum?
That's a way of putting it. Most, yes, Democratic, but almost certainly liberal.
And why is that?
Perhaps they pay more attention to what's going on. No, that's
maybe.
That's not a that's not a nice thing to say about the Republicans.
We don't have to be nice.
The magazine takes a liberal point of view.
But I mean, what I was wondering was being able to laugh at yourself, laugh at others, see through things, see the holes in arguments and things like that, as opposed to taking a hard line and waving the flag and not really taking more of an analytical approach, it does seem to be more the Democratic way. So it seems like, and I don't know if this is true, but it just as I was thinking about it, as I was looking at your work, it seems like there is a correlation between having a sense of humor and satire and being on the liberal side.
Possibly, although in the New Mexican, local newspaper, they have a comic strip right next to Gary Trudeau.
Right.
But and they do it for balance.
I know, but it's not as funny.
Well, it isn't.
It isn't.
It just isn't.
It may be difficult to be humorous, funny.
When you're an uptight Republican, it's hard to be funny.
Yeah. Although this may not sound like I'm not trying to be partisan. I was just trying to understand what's going on.
Well, I can't explain. Mad definitely is a more liberal leaning magazine. And it's fun to make fun of, for instance, the Tea Party and those who subscribe to their point of view, at least for me.
Now, one of the brunts of your cartoons lately has been Donald Trump, and particularly his hair.
Yes, well, Donald Trump is his hair, so that you can draw him from the back, and
you know
absolutely who it is. Most of those Donald Trump cartoons were the fellow who did the idea is Don Edwing, and he's been a writer for Mad for many years. And once he began doing Donald Trump and making fun of his hair and everything, it just led to a whole series. And fortunately, I was asked to draw those.
Are certain...
And I agreed with them. I'm not a Donald Trump fan.
Huh. That surprises me a little bit.
Yeah. Well, why? because of my hair?
Yeah, because of your hair, yes.
Yeah, right. Jealous.
Absolutely, I'm envious.
We're talking to Paul Coker Jr. and Mike Bundy, and the opening tonight is at the Chuck Jones Gallery. Now, you're such a wonderful artist, and the characters you draw have so much life to them, and they're just great caricatures. And I wonder, do you ever do straight drawing, like non-caricature drawing from life?
As a matter of fact, since I've moved to Santa Fe, I do quite a bit of life drawing. And I enjoy it tremendously. And not just because of the naked people, but, well, that's
that
a good portion
yeah.
of it. Let's be candid. But yes, I do drawings. In fact, I go to, during the wintertime, I go to at least four groups a week.
Of drawing from a model?
From a, yeah.
As
yeah.
opposed to going out and drawing a landscape or trees?
Right.
Or
I enjoy figure drawing. I enjoy portrait. And you can do it inside as opposed to landscapes where sometimes you go out, it's too windy, it's too cold, it's too dusty, it's all those things. Inside, you don't have that problem.
Now, with all the political and social satire that you do, I mean, there are people writing journalism and they're writing very earnestly about these subjects. You approach them with humor. What does that, or what do you hope that it does for the body politic, for the people?
Oh, I don't know. If people see what I'm doing, the cartoons, and enjoy them, that's quite enough. I'm not trying to influence anybody, really.
When you work with a writer, are there certain writers that are compatible with certain cartoonists? Do you form kind of bonds and teams that work together particularly well?
The only one that I've ever found that I work with reasonably well is a fellow named Phil Hahn. And Phil and I, since we worked at Hallmark together, we sort of know, you know, what is going to happen. And he understands how I draw, and I sort of understand how he writes. And incidentally, Phil has gone on to much bigger and better things. He was the head writer for Laugh-In, and he won a, is it a Tony? Is that the television prize? Yeah. And he wrote for many big stars in Hollywood for television. He's the only one I've really worked with regularly.
Mike Bundy, you were having this opening tonight. You were with the Chuck Jones Gallery. So basically, you make a living selling artwork that's based in the cartoon genre.
Correct.
And there's a whole market for that, I guess.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Who collects this type of
work? We hope
so. Yeah.
Well, the people who collect it, it really are mostly baby boomers. And I think what drives a collector to collect this type of art is childhood memories. You know, it really is. It's a nostalgia-driven market. It's, you know, people remembering the very simple Saturday morning cartoons and their PJs eating their favorite cereal. And I think those memories are so deeply embedded in people of a particular age that the work just brings tremendous joy to them when they see it and when they collect it. And, you know, I know for myself, I have a very modest animation collection, but it's art that makes you smile. You know, it really does. It's virtually impossible to come into my gallery and be in a bad mood or to stay in a bad mood. I guarantee it. If you come through my gallery and just do a tip through the gallery, 5-10 minutes, you'll be smiling. You just will be, and you'll feel better. And I think it really is something that people cherish, and I think that's why they collect it.
I have to ask you before we go, Paul Coker, Alfred E. Newman. Every cartoonist has to, for Mad Magazine, has to, in their way, draw Alfred E. Newman. Is that correct?
Generally, yes. That's right. But Alfred E. Newman was a character that was developed long before there was a Mad Magazine. I think it goes all the way back to what could be the
I think to the Renaissance, no? Isn't he a Renaissance figure? No,
it could be. But I think the original character that looks like Alfred E. Newman was done for a calendar for Painless Dentist. And
I didn't know that.
I had no idea.
Yeah. And the line was, it didn't hurt a bit. You know, and he has this smile.
Right.
And
the gap,
and
too.
No, right. So it goes back a long way. I think that I have a reproduction of that calendar, and I think the date is 1910.
Holy moly.
So it goes a long way. But the originator of Mad Magazine, Harvey Kurtzman, took that character and made it a symbol for the magazine. And that's the way it came about.
Paul Coker is a cartoonist for many years with Mad Magazine. And once again, the show of his work is today. The opening is tonight from 5 till 8. At the Chuck Jones Gallery, of which Mike Bundy is the director. Thank you both so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.